This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 4, Episode 79, I kick off the new Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series. I'm joined by 114 half marathoner Stephen Butcher from the Bush Turkey Track Club and Narissa O'Donnell, a 117 runner from the Burt Squad, both of those in Brisbane. I've run with both Stephen and Narissa for the past handful of years, being part of both running clubs in Burt and Bush Turkeys, and I found they are such friendly people by nature, and importantly, very experienced and knowledgeable in the sport of running. In this spin-off series, the general agenda will include conversation about recent local and professional running news, weekly training, and finishing with a topic relevant to the race itself. For example, race strategies, nutrition, footwear, and mental applications, amongst others. I hope you enjoy this side series as part of the overall Local Legends in Running podcast. Welcome officially to the Local Legends in Running podcast. It's a special episode that I host today on the 18th of May at 4:08 p.m. It's special because it marks the first of the Road to Gold Coast Half Marathon series that we're going to run here on the podcast, and also special because of the guests that I have with me today. And one comes back to the podcast, but for the very first time on this show. I know he listens here and there, and I run with him a lot at the Bush Turkey Track Club. I'm going to welcome Stephen Butcher for the first time.
Thanks for having me, Ollie. It's good to be here.
Excellent. And the other guest is Narissa O'Donnell, who was on here. I think we're talking off air, Narissa. It must have been about this time 2 years ago in 2023, where you and I were running a lot for, I guess, as part of the Burt Squad. So welcome to you, Narissa.
No, thanks, Ollie. Thanks for having me back.
Excellent. I think that conversation we had, Narissa, must have followed the Noosa half marathon win that you had, and still, I think, I believe, remains your PB. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I think it was only a week or two after Noosa, 2023. And, well, I ran an equal PB to the second in Christchurch this year, so I have an equal PB to Noosa, but, yeah, that is my PB.
Oh, that'd be a strange feeling, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? So, yeah, Stephen's a 114 half marathoner, and Narissa is a high 117. But moving forward, I'll mention those both to the minute, 114, 117. But I was sort of thinking about a few things putting this together, guys. And one thing that came up is that this theme of threes, that there's three of us on the podcast now, 3 years apart, I believe, from the age of, I think Stephen's 34 this year. I'm 37. Have I got that stat correct?
Yep, I'm 34 in a few days, so I'm very close to it.
So we've got the third thing there as part of these threes is the PB, so 114 through to a 117 as well. So it bodes nicely for the series, and very much looking forward to having you both on here. I was trying to think too about when I had met both of you out there running wise, and probably from a more formal sense, I guess, running for the Bush Jerky Track Club now and the Vert Squad before, but I think it was Stephen years ago, maybe a handful of years ago. Through the COVID times, out at the Nudgee track comes to mind, or potentially in a race similar for Narissa. But yeah, any memories there for you, Stephen, where we had sort of passed tracks?
I definitely remember seeing you down at the track at Nudgee when it was when the but probably pre-Turkeys, being a sort of a group. Clive and I used to Clive Gross, who's been, who some of your listeners will know. We used to go down there all the time, but I definitely would have come across you at park runs and all that. We've probably been pretty similar in ability over the years too. So on start lines, we've always probably pretty close together, and I think. A few of the other guys in the Turkeys, you've had connections with, like Arvi Singh and a few of those guys. So, yeah, I suppose just, you've just been for a fairly long time one of those people I've just known through the running community. And now, yeah, it's been a, since we've obviously got to run a, get together a fair bit more now, now you're in the Turkey. So, yeah, that's sounds about right, I reckon.
Yeah, well, it's the third Road 2 series that I've done on the podcast. And you may have listened to or heard of the first one I did with Paul Goulet and Brooke Williams, the Road to Noosa event, that one there where I was running the half marathon and those two in the marathon. But then more recently, as you mentioned, Clive Gross, Stephen, the Road to Osaka marathon featuring Clive and also Kyle West from the Gold Coast. So this is the third one. But I thought carefully about who I wanted on here. And obviously, I know both of you, but you're both highly experienced, and I know that you're both fairly conversational out in the running community and within your groups. But also, Narissa, too, for you, I think, to represent the women out there. And obviously, the last series I had, Road 2 series with Clive and Kyle, didn't feature a lady. So it's going to be great to have both, I guess, genders on here to represent both sides. And looking forward to talking to both of you. But by way of agenda, generally, we'll talk about some running news to kick it off and then get into our weekly running ourselves and then finish with some kind of topic. Today, I've got shoe rotations, which I've just picked on there as one that I just think is quite topical at the moment. And I know that you guys are obviously are wearing shoes on your feet, but you know a bit about what is happening down there. And I think that'll sort of bode well moving forward. But if by way of introduction, Narissa, I know you've been on here a couple of years ago, but you're happy to sort of run through a couple of things there about yourself to get the listeners up to date with you personally, but also running wise, just quickly through your PBs and achievements.
Yeah, no worries. So I have three girls, 10, 8, and 4. So they keep me quite busy. I work 3 days a week at the Royal Brisbane Hospital. I work in fetal medicine. I'm a sonographer there. My little one is still not school yet, so I have her the other 2 days of the week. I've been sort of running fairly seriously since maybe 2012, but I've obviously the three kids are in there, so I've been sort of had times off here and there, pregnancy and postpartum, but most of my PBs have been since I've had my third daughter. 5K, my official 5K PB is actually just from Brisbane Roadrunners at the end of last year. The 5K champs, I ran 17:05. I have ran 17:04 at Sandgate Speed Week, but official PB is on official courses 17:05. 10K is also from Brisbane Roadrunners, 10K champs there last year, 35:55. So I do go to Roadrunners quite a bit. There for most of their championship events, and I go there a lot for training. I really enjoy being part of that club. My half PB is actually, you gave me a bit of credit before, Ollie. It's 1:18:24.
Oh, did
It's
I?
my half. Yeah, that's right. I hope hopefully soon to be one in the 1:17s. And my marathon PB is from Valencia last year, 2:43:37, I think it is. Yeah. So I've done a few of the world marathon majors now, so I'm sort of focusing more on marathon the last since I've been on the podcast, but still trying to hopefully get a few PBs over the shorter distance. But the marathon's been my main focus.
Thanks, Russ. So you've kind of ruined my theory of the three concept, but
Sorry.
it's okay. It's a couple there that still suffice the idea. But
Yeah.
Stephen, how about yourself, mate?
Yeah, so I've just recently become a dad of two. So my daughter is nearly 4 years old. She'll be four in about a month and a half or so, and my son is he's 3 months in about a week's time. So that is all keeping me pretty busy at the moment. Not sleeping as much as I would like, but it's he's doing what he's supposed to. So it's yeah. It's not as hard as you think it's going to be, I don't reckon. In terms of work-wise, I work across the road from Nerissa on in the Department of Health. I sort of work in a data and reporting role. I've been doing that for quite a few years. I'm just at Butterfield Street and PBs. So I ran as a junior, not particularly great. I was sort of okay, and then sort of got into running a little bit when I was in my 20s and was about probably 25, 26. I sort of got into a bit more seriously after I found I was celiac, had a bit more energy. And so that was about 2016, I sort of started running. But by 2019, I was doing it pretty seriously or more committed. All my PBs have been since then. But my PB over five is, well, it, yeah, well, we're not official because they're in a park run, but I've run 15:53 at in Speed Week at park run, which is I was pretty happy with that. I actually ran just 2 seconds faster, slower than it a few weeks ago. So that one is a couple of years old. I think it was 2023. My 10K was about a week before that one, at the Brisbane Marathon 10K. I ran 33:37. Which is probably, yeah, I was pretty impressed with that one because if anyone who's run it, it's a pretty hilly course and it's just one of those days I had a blinder and some of the guys I was around in the race had have run pretty quick as well. So I was pretty happy with that one. My half is getting a little bit old. I'd like to knock that time off. That was from 2022 Gold Coast Marathon. So it's 1:14:27 or 28, I can't remember the second. But that was like at the time was about a 4 minute jump as a PB, and it was just one of those days that just was magic. There's a few times in your running career where you walk away from something and go, how did I do that? And that was one of those days. So I'm hoping to have another one of them this year. And then my marathon PB was from last year. It's 2:44:40, I think. I'd run about a 25-second PB there last year, so at the Sunny Coast. Of those, I think my marathon's the one I think I've got the most room to move with. But yeah, I mean, so that's where those PBs are. And yeah, that's sort of me, my running, a little bit of who I am, I suppose.
Excellent. Thank you, Stephen. I think I can hear your kids in the background there. I thought it was Nerissa, but
No,
if you're able to move or even mute them, of course you can't get rid of your kids, so we've got to work around this.
yeah, I'll try something. I'll try this. He's taking off. How's that?
Yeah, that's fantastic. As a bit of a segue into myself, I'm normally interviewing guests on here, but in terms of me, I've got two kids, a 4-year-old and 1-year-old, and they're both home at the moment in the background, but luckily my microphone will block them out. But they occupy my time a lot, and family time is paramount to me. And I work as a teacher at Nudgee College on the north side of Brisbane, which is full time, and I work around that also with the coaching through the Local Legends brand, as I really call it a hobby. It's not a huge money maker in terms of that side of things, but it's good fun, and I've got four athletes there that I'm coaching at the moment. And what I'd also like to touch on to Nerissa and Stephen, and I'll kick it off here, is our half goals for the Gold Coast, and just thinking about potentially like an ABC goal, if that comes to mind for you. Because for me, I'm heading into this, as both of you know, with an injury, but I'm going to predict that at the moment I'd probably be the slowest on this series, but hopefully I can potentially change that. I'm looking more towards Nerissa's side because I know that Stephen has far more ability than I have. But in terms of an A goal, I think for me, realistically, I can get potentially to close to that 118 mark. And as an A goal, B goal, sub 119. And I think the 120 or 80 minute barrier is certainly doable based on the training. And I've written on my agenda here, guys, 120 plus a fail. So I've gone pretty harsh there. But I think that I would like to expect a higher standard, having a 116.55 PB. And while I'm at it, I forgot to talk about my PBs. That's a 5K PB of 16.35, 10K 34.35, and the half, as I've just said, a 116.55. So I don't think I'll be near there with this lead up, but I'll talk about my training as you guys do too, just to give the listeners insight into what I'm doing along with you guys to learn about and resonate with runners of our abilities. So there's my goals. If I went to over to Narissa now, what are you thinking for this event?
I think we'll be pretty similar, Ollie. Obviously, my A goal, I'd say, is to try to go under 118, so in the 117s. I think based on my marathon time, and I should be able to do that. My half time is probably my PB. That's probably where I can improve the most, though I don't often do many halves as an A race. So it's usually in a marathon block. So I'm hoping with this is sort of my A race for this first half of the year that I might be able to get under 118 if we get good conditions this year. B goal would be a PB, but just between 118 and 118.24, so just a PB, not necessarily. And then under 120, C goal over 120 would be a bit disappointed, I'd say. Same with you. So I feel like still going under 80 as a female is quite good. So I think anything under 80 you can't really complain about, but yeah. Definitely closer to that 118, 117 mark
Awesome.
that
And
would be the
before I get to
goal.
Stephen, Narissa, where would that historically or this year do you think bode in position? As in, what would you place, do you think, with those sort of goals amongst the women, that is?
Just depends. I'm not sure on who's in the. I have a seated start, but I don't know who's in the elite field. They usually get some really top runners doing the half. It's always popular. Maybe somewhere between 10 and 20. Like there is a lot of women that sort of. Yeah, a sort of between 110 and 115 that go there from around Australia. Like it is a pretty high quality field for the half. So, yeah, maybe
Yeah,
top 20.
that's certainly higher than or lower, rather mathematically, to Stephen and I. But I think if I got this correct, Stephen, you haven't sort of been there for a few years, but for Stephen, I think he can certainly potentially get close to maybe top 50 to 70. What do you think?
I think if I hit my A goal, so which so at the moment, as I mentioned before, my PB is about 114 mid. I think based on my other PB, so I want to run somewhere around the sort of 328 to 326 pace, which sort of ends up somewhere 112 high to 113 low. I think that would get you, yeah, about in the 50s or 60s probably. My 114 was a sort of a COVID affected year-ish. There wasn't too many people there. That got me about 80th. But I mean, with the running boom at that now it's just sort of kicked off. I think that would be a fair bit higher now. But yeah, do you want me to go with my B and C goal as well now?
Yeah, go for it.
So with that, or the B goal would just be the same as Nusa. I just want to run a PB. So if it's not under 114, but it's between 114 and 114. 27 or 28, I'd be pretty stoked. And then as a C goal, I'd probably duck under 115 or 115 low. Yeah, depends on, conditions and all that as well. If it's a shocking day, then we'll readjust on the day, but we'll just pray that's good, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess one thing that us three do know is the half marathon's a bit more predictable and manageable, but nothing is out there, and it's very much, pertains to the weather on the day. Gold Coast is usually pretty good. The half marathon's over, what, by sort of earlier than 8 o'clock almost, and it's pretty cool. So fingers crossed. But let's get into the running news, guys. And there's been a lot happening for our running group, Steve, and the Bush Turkey Track Club. The track mile happened on Friday night, just gone. And the unique thing about it is the handicap nature of it, and it allows any runner within the club. And we invited some others, and Narissa, you might have seen Michael Knops there, a Burt runner,
I
who
did see
is
Michael.
probably arguably the fastest across most events. Clive would rival him, I guess, to a degree. But he was there, and he started off scratch with Clive. But before I talk too much about it, I'll head over to Stephen. He wasn't in the event, prioritizing, I think, other things. But yeah, what did you sort of spectate and make of that event?
Yeah, it's a great event. It's about the third year I think we've done it. I never do the mile because the short stuff is not for me as much. But yeah, this year, just in previous years, it's always got a little bit bigger each year in terms of spectators and competitors. We had a guy, David Ripper, who is probably he runs himself, but he's got his son Ruben is yeah, pretty handy running, but he's mostly just around the club with taking Ruben to things as well. And he did the handicap for us this year and did a cracking job. There was a few people who maybe got stitched up a little bit, but mostly it was amazing watching, like, in the last lap, you think there's no way they're finishing all together here, and then just the people come together. And it's just the last lap, like the last home straight gets so congested with, I'd say, yeah, 3/4 of the field finished within about 5 or 6 seconds, so maybe 10. But yeah, it was a great event, and Taz got the win, and I mean he had a blinder as well. He started off, I think, about 50 meters, I think. So he was not, I mean, he was not far in front of Michael. And held him off by about 3 or 4 seconds, I think. So it was a great night, and it's one that we'll definitely be running again next year. And this was the first year where I've sort of gone, oh, I think I wouldn't mind jumping in and having a crack over. I wouldn't be going off scratch, but it'd be pretty fun. So I'd probably be spat out the back though, I reckon. So it's a great night though.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And a bit of a context, I guess Michael Knops, who was off scratch, I think he'd run a 4:26 to 8 somewhere. It was definitely sub 4:30. So Narissa, that'll give you some idea and the listeners too of what was happening out there. But I just thought it was such a fantastic event for a club. The handicap stuff is just such a good way of doing it. But I guess what you'd love too, Narissa, out there is the kids, and there was a kids' race. So many kids. There's just so many runners, I guess, probably in their 30s, Stephen, who have kids. And my son was in there having a run. I'm pretty sure he was last, but he had no idea. It was sort of his first ever, I guess, anything sort of athletic related. He was there and he was in it and excited regardless of that results. Thought it was fantastic. But what came to mind, Narissa, for me, for Bert, was what I used to love, and I'd love one day for the Bush Turkeys to consider the Nunda Crit relays. I just don't know if you were there this year. Were you there for that event on Anzac Day?
I wasn't there this year. I've done it, I think, the last 5 years. I love that event. And yeah, if Bert usually have a lot of teams there, and it's always a fun event. We always have a women's team, but my youngest was having heart surgery, so I wasn't just the week before. So I didn't know if she was going to be out of hospital in time. But yeah, no, I love that event. It would be good to get more clubs like the Bush Turkeys along and things so we can, yeah, create that little bit of friendly rivalry between the clubs, because yeah, it's always a fun event. I love going there on Anzac Day. It's a very tough event, I must say. Everyone goes all out, but no, I love that Nunda Crit relays.
Yeah, it's very much dominated by the Burke club, though, isn't it?
It is,
Be a
yeah.
little bit frightened of the depths that they have out there. And Stephen knows all about the Burke runners from events. But let's move into the international news. There's been a bit of commotion around the Australian marathon team that's been announced for the World Athletics Champs. They're in September, and they do kind of clash with the Sydney Marathon now, which is part of the World Majors as well. So it does bode some issues for the athletes trying to decide where they're going. And I think it has affected a few athletes. You guys might know better than I. I've been trying to go through news, listening to Inside Running podcasts. They were talking about a few things, but on the men's side, Andy Buchanan, Tim Vincent, and Liam Bowden with an asterisk next to his name. And that's the same for Vanessa Wilson in the women's. That they only, I think, join that contingent if runners pull out. And I think there's around 100 runners that compete usually. And I heard on the Inside Running podcast that Liam's about 170th. So in terms of him making it, I think it involves runners withdrawing athletes, or when they finalize teams that athletes, for whatever reason, like injury, illness, or other priorities, don't do the run, which means those two potentially could run. But I'm not too well versed on what Liam Adams has been doing. I've hardly heard from him in the last almost 2 years. But of course, Brett Robinson and Pat Tiernan not there as well. I've got a feeling Brett's in the Sydney a marathon event. Have I got that correct? Do you know about that?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard him officially announce that. Brett hasn't done a marathon in for a while though, because the qualifying period, I think, for the world champs is December 2023 to May this year. And I think because he pulled out of the Olympics and he didn't do Valencia and he didn't do London, so he might his marathon might be a little bit from. I think he did
Dated.
Fukuoka actually in December 2023 in 208. But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe he's deciding to do Sydney, and then Liam Adams did the Olympics. But I haven't heard about him doing many races since then. Actually, I haven't heard him what he's doing for his next marathon.
Yeah, well, he's the top 10 all-time marathoner in Australia, that is. Tim's in ninth. Fastest, I think, and he was on this show after his Frankfurt 209 marathon, and he's an amazing runner. But of course, there's a couple there ahead of him, and Liam Burden too over in Spain, 210. He's must be sort of just above the 15th quickest all time. I'm looking at a list that doesn't show him on it, and it shows the top 15. And Pat Tiernan, we sort of never know what he's up to. He's overseas a lot, isn't he? Have you followed much of the men's side, Stephen?
A little bit. I follow Pat Tiernan and I like to keep an eye. I've got him on Instagram and follow the Puma Elite group as well. My guess for Pat is that he's probably been a US-based athlete, maybe looking to jump into Chicago or New York. I know that a lot of the US athletes do like to prioritize those races, and he's just done Boston as well. So I don't, and I do know, like, for guys like that, particularly, like, Pat's probably looking at, like, he definitely has the ability to run 206, like, when you look at his 5K and his 10K. So I wouldn't be surprised if he wants to chase a fast one rather than a world champs this year. In regards to Brett, I know he had the was paced London because he had a bit of an injury, I believe. But I can't see him not doing Sydney if he's fit. Like the inside running guy said the other day as well. Like, I think Sydney as the first year as a major would be pretty amazing to be the first Aussie in. And I think for, you as a brand, as a runner, it would get you a whole bunch of a whole bunch of attention, and probably a lot more than a world champs would, considering that they're probably not likely to medal. But yeah, I haven't heard anything official, but yeah, I'd like to see. I mean, if Pat did come over to Sydney, that'd be pretty great to see as well. But I'd love to see those guys in the world champs. But I think they'll be chasing some fast times or somewhere in a major later in the year, or maybe even lining up for Valencia, maybe. With the later world champs, that might be a little bit too hard, but yeah, don't know.
Yeah, it got me thinking after the episode with Aidan Hobbs and Callum Davies as well. A couple of weeks back, we spoke about the lack of depth out there in the marathon fields, both women's and men's. I'm talking about like Gold Coast is often one in from an Australian point of view, like a 2:15-ish sort of a time, and you got a couple guys sub, 2:20. But if we had the top 50 women and men there, you'd have sort of 2:06 where Andy is, I guess, close to that for the event, up to 2:20. There'd be 100, or more runners that could fit in there, but we don't see that. And I bring it back to Sydney because Sydney is the one I think moving forward that is going to throw the big bucks around and get athletes there. I know Izzy Bat Doyle's heading there, and she's been pushing the marketing and branding a bit through her Instagram page, and good on her. I'd like to see the attention going to the elite athletes as opposed to always these run influencers. But good on everybody for having a crack. Leanne Pompeani's new to the marathon; she's in it. And Vanessa Wilson, but we do have no Jen Lacaze or Gregson. She's 33 weeks pregnant. I see her. She's running around a track. Narissa, have you followed her at all of late? She's been running around Cusack and
I
a
do
few
follow
others.
Genevieve.
Yeah, close to 30 weeks pregnant. You can literally see her belly running like 3:30 pace reps. It's pretty amazing. But she won't be there, and the rest are pretty much mothers too that aren't there. Lisa Waitman, Sinead. Obviously, some fastest of all time here, Jess Stenson and Eloise Welling. So, I'm not sure how many of those are going to be in Sydney as well or somewhere else.
I'd like to see Jess in Sydney, actually. I'd like to see Jess. I don't know about Lisa.
Actually, Jess was mentioned, I think, on the Inside Running podcast. I'm not sure if Stephen was listening to that recent episode, but I'm pretty sure she's going to be there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard her saying she'd be there. I mean, she's not an ASICS athlete anymore. She's with like a Lulu ambassador now. I'm pretty sure Eloise will be out because I'm fairly certain she's just had another child. So a lot of our top girls at the moment are like either about to have a baby or just have one. Ellie Pashley's in that too. So yeah, I don't know which ones are going to show up, but I'd say Jess. I'd love to see Jess run there. I'm like big fan of hers, like just her outlook on running and just that she sort of gets up for big races as well. Like it'd be, yeah, I'd love to see her there. And I think she, probably, to be honest, I'd probably more than seeing her at a world champs. So yeah, it's interesting that Izzy did pick the world champs over Sydney, but I don't know. Maybe she's confident she could double up or something today, but that'd be pretty. I think it's about 2 weeks between the race. That'd be not something I could do, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm not sure what Narissa thinks of that, because Izzy could have been that pin-up lady, I guess, like you're sort of alluding to with Brett at Sydney, and get them that acknowledgement from a marketing Australian and professional point of view. I'm just not sure about that one. What do you think, Narissa?
Yeah, because she's an ASICS athlete, so it makes sense that she would do Sydney. It's an ASICS run event, but maybe yeah, she has it. Maybe she's got a bit of redemption in the world champs in the marathon she competed in 2 years ago. She didn't do so well, so maybe she wants to go back and finish higher. Or I thought she was actually going to try to do something on the track at the world champs and then go again for Valencia. So I was surprised to see her on the marathon. I thought if she went to World Champs, she'd do the 5 or the 10 and then do Valencia again. But yeah, maybe she's trying to get a top 10 finish at a World Champs.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an issue moving forward, because I think from memory, the world champs are always at August, September time. So it's always going to clash with Sydney, which now is very unlikely to change its time of year, because it's a major now, and that it sits there moving forward. So it's a tough position to be in for both the events and
Yeah,
also the athletes.
I don't think there's a world champs next year. There's the ultimate world championships. It's like a track at the end of the year. So there's no world
Yes,
champs marathon
sorry. I mean,
next year.
every second year, I mean,
Yeah.
sorry.
And
Yeah.
then I've heard, though, I could be wrong, that there's only going to be the marathon the one after, and then that's it. The marathon won't be at the world championships anymore. So I'm
Oh.
not sure how true that is, but that's what I've heard.
That'd change things there.
Yeah, it'll force more of them to all the world marathon majors, so.
Yeah, well, speaking of women in running, let's get to Narissa's week to kick it off. And she talks from a bird squad point of view. I think you've been training there at least in the last few weeks. Would that be correct as part of your overall week?
Yeah, I always go to Bird on a Tuesday. So I train with the Bird squad on Tuesday mornings. So we want to run through sessions or
Yeah,
daily? What
let's
do you
go
reckon?
through Monday to Sunday, just talking about each of those runs as part of the week, and then we'll head into to Stephen, and I'll finish things to go with that. Yeah, go ahead.
So this week I often have Mondays off running, so Mondays are not a running day for me. I've always done that. So I'll often sometimes do like an elliptical for an hour, and I usually do some Pilates, but I don't run on a Monday, which is quite nice after a long run. Tuesday Burt session. This week we did 6 by a K off a 5:30 cycle. We actually had a big group there this week. I wasn't going too crazy. I actually was being good and try to hold myself back a little bit instead of going fifth gear at Burt. So I think I ran them all between 3:26 to 3:29 pace. So that was good. That is pretty much 5K pace, really. And then with cool down, and I doubled that day. I did an 8K double. Wednesday's midweek long run. So I have a couple girls I run with on a Wednesday. I split up my run a little bit on a Wednesday because I meet the girls at 5 a.m. but for a 17K loop, but I like to do 25 in total, but I have to get back for kids and things by 6:30. So I actually run on my treadmill first for 8Ks, And then I get in the car, drive 5 minutes down the road, meet the girls, and we run for 17K. So I get 25Ks in total. It's just because I don't feel safe running in the dark before 5 a.m. by myself to do the extras myself. It's not worth the, running in the dark, the risk. So I do it on my treadmill before. Thursday, I had a bit of a just a progression sort of run. So my training's a little bit different actually to most people do the marathon training, the Tuesday session, Friday session, Sunday long run. I used to always train sessions Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, long run Sunday, easy long run. So I don't really do a full session on Tuesday, but it's often like a smaller session, like a short, like a sort of an easier type of session, but it's always got some sort of a little bit of intensity. So I did like a progression run. So I just started easy and just started getting faster, but I only got down to about 4 minute pace. So that was 18 Ks total. I did a few little 1 minute strides at the end, and then I doubled on Thursday. I ran 8 Ks in the afternoon. Friday's always my recovery day. So Friday's the only day I actually run from home out the door, and I just run really easy because we're a bit hilly where we live. And it was just an easy 14Ks. And then we actually traveled to Stradey. We were going to North Stradey this weekend because we were staying with over there because a bunch of families from the girls' school were going, and a lot of them were doing the triathlon. So in conjunction with the Stradey Salute Triathlon, they had a trail 5K run, which I thought would just be a 5K on the road, but it was actually trails. So that's my first ever trail run. So I just did a short warm up, and I had no idea where I was going. I ran out. There was a one guy there that was running quite fast, and he sort of knew the course from last year. And he said, "Do you know where you're going?" I said, "No." He's like, "Okay, let's just run together for a bit." So it was sort of the first K in a bit was on the road, and then from about 2K, we went up this really sharp, long incline. And then we had to go down stairs. There was about 50 stairs, so we went down boardwalk stairs that were all slippery and wet because it's been pouring rain. Ran along the front of the beach on the soft sand. Had to go up about another 50 stairs to get back up, and then we were going along a small trail and other stairs, and eventually got back to the oval where we finished. So I was first female, and I think the time was 18:24. But I'm a bit skeptical it was the full 5K. I think that's a bit short, a bit generous there, but I'll take it. And then I wanted to get some Ks in, so I did about 12K cool down. And then Sunday long run, this was probably one of the longest, toughest runs I've had to do for a while because I don't know if you guys know, when you're in a new place, you like Google map it and you're like, oh, okay, I'll try. Looks like there's roads here, roads there, but it doesn't show all the hills and And I was a bit naive that thought I'd be able to run 30Ks around Point Lookout at North Stradbroke Island. So anyway, I got going, and it's very, very hilly. And I'm used to running along the Kedron Brook along Grange there and along Kedron. So I'm used to the flat, smooth road. So I also was a bit unprepared. I forgot to pack gels, and I found one lolly snake left over. And so I had one lolly snake, no water, no nothing. But I got 28Ks out. I was supposed to do 30, but I got 28 in the end, just going back and forth, round and round, up and down Stradbroke Island. So that got me a total of 137.5Ks for the week, which is sort of around usual. I sort of around 130, 140Ks most weeks. So.
Definitely large, but as you mentioned, I guess tend to be training for the marathon in the background too as well. And I was talking to Stephen this morning about the weekly setup, and for me, often my A event distance has always been, well, for the last 6 7 years, been the half marathon, so it's very specified towards that. And yeah, I just want to dive quickly into your weekly setup there with the three sessions, because I guess most athletes in their 30s now are usually doing two a week, but you're still squeezing in the three. I listened to the podcast, Narissa, with you on it from 2 years ago, just the other day, and reminded me of, yeah, how much you're coming back to that intensity 3 times a week. Is that something you've looked at over the past few years? You mentioned Tuesday being a little bit quieter and then Sunday not necessarily involving any sort of half marathon or marathon-paced Ks at the moment.
Yeah, it's something that I've always done. So I guess the body's become accustomed to it. So I was finding it hard to back up on a Thursday after like a Tuesday hard burn, then a medium long run, and then trying to do like threshold stuff on a Thursday. I remember we used to try to do threshold on a Thursday, and it is hard to back up. So I often try to do just more of like a, sometimes I will do a little bit faster, but it's often more just like a stronger aerobic run. So it's like, it's still slower than marathon pace. So it's like sort of building into it. I'm like a down to 4 minute pace or something. And so it's not a hard session, but it's just not easy running. I don't know. I just, because the way my sort of family schedule is as well, Fridays is not a great day morning for me to do big sessions. So I keep all my marathon and big sessions to a Saturday, which I know is a bit hard because all my Sunday long runs are just easy pace. So they don't really have intensity. I've never really done too much intensity. And if I did, I wouldn't do a Saturday. So my weekend's sort of big and I like to just run easy on a Friday. So I don't really like to run e completely easy Thursday and Friday. So I do like to just have something on a Thursday more just to keep me, yeah, got motivated and things on a Thursday. But I think because I've just done it for years and years and years and years, and I haven't changed it. I think my body's just used to it and I can do that. I think if something changed and I got injured or I really wasn't, the body wasn't recovering enough for Thursday, I would have to change it to either just the single Friday or Saturday. But at the moment, it still seems to be working for me. So.
Yeah, it's important for context, isn't it? Because any women listening to this series moving forward, hearing 140 kilometers, whether they're a recreational athlete or sub-elite or almost elite like yourself, Narissa, they'd start to think about, yeah, why that number's so high. But it's obviously going to benefit both marathon and half marathon. But which marathon are you going to do post the Gold Coast this
Yeah,
year?
that's right. So I'm going to do Chicago Marathon, and I found through my training that I respond really well to high mileage. So the shorter stuff, like I'll try to do a short 5K type of block. I don't get faster at my 5K. I do a marathon block and I run my PBs in the 5K towards the end of my marathon block. So I respond well to the mileage, but I've done it, my coach and I've done it really sensibly and smart. Like I haven't been injured at all since my third daughter. So I think before the, like I sort of was running 100Ks a lot. And then before Berlin, I might have got to 120. Then before Tokyo, I might have tried to push a few weeks around 130. And then for Valencia, I tried to push up to 135, 140. So I've just gradually built up my week so that now I can sort of run 130 to 140 as a standard week and not get injured and peak. But I do have down weeks in there as well when I race and things. So yeah, it's not every week always 130, 140, but I've just gradually built it up, built it up, built it up so that yeah, I can handle that many Ks. And as I said, I do respond well to it. I need to be doing those sort of Ks to run the times I want to run in the marathon. As a female, to run sub 240, I think I even need to push up to 150s.
Wow.
It's just what, I think as a female, my type body type, I need to be running that to run those times. It's just how it is, but I've done it slowly and sensibly, so.
Yeah. See, someone who relies on that endurance or aerobic nature to perform, and yeah, that's we've got to acknowledge you've been out there for a long time in getting to that. I respect that you've done that progressively and can now manage that injury free. But Stephen does things a little bit differently, and his focus at the moment, I guess, is on this Gold Coast half. But yeah, how's your weekly setup looking like, Stephen? Unless you had any other questions there for Narissa that come to mind.
You answered my question in it. I was just asking, is there like a gold marathon after Gold Coast? Just because, yeah, the 25 on a Wednesday and then the 30 on a Sunday is are still reasonably pretty big. So that was my other thing. But yeah, so that's really solid mileage. Like, yeah, you'd definitely be getting super fit off that.
Yeah, and it means I'm never too far away from my marathon block, and there's never too much of a sharp change when I enter a marathon. I don't even know if I really call it a block. I just start, focusing a little bit towards marathon. And I definitely didn't always do 25 on a Wednesday either. It was only usually in a marathon block. I'd usually do 20, then in a marathon block, I might do 24. And then I've just gotten, over time, gradually just increased. I'll do 22 every week, and then I'll do 23. Now I do 24, now I do 25 every week. I won't go any higher than that. That's definitely max. I don't need to be doing any more than that. So, it's been a slow.
Yep, perfect. Thanks, Narissa. Over to Stephen, if you kick off for Monday.
Yeah, sure thing. So, just probably a bit of a context. I came off a pretty big down week the week before. So, Monday, I had a little bit of a no longer run than I normally would have on a Monday. I did about just under 14K. Met up with Clive for that one, which I haven't been lately, but we were lucky enough to be able to tee that up. So, I didn't even do that one on my own, which was nice. That was all, just really easy recovery. Then Tuesday, went to the track for a bush turkey session. So at the moment with the bush turkeys, we've got this thing called Project McCarthy, which is named after the big man Liam McCarthy. So many people will know. Basically, it's just a project that we're building up to Speed Week and doing some 5K specific sessions, just so the guys can, basically rip a quick one on at Speed Week. But there's also a bunch of guys going for Gold Coast Marathon half. So there's sort of some of the guys just focusing on the five are doing really specific stuff, and the other ones are doing a bit of longer stuff. And I did the slightly longer option. So the workout was something different to what I've done normally. It started short and fast. It was 400 meters, then 2x8, and then it was 4x K. And then we did some really short, fast efforts that we called halves. Four, three of the 200s at the end. So the workout itself is, I didn't really look at, and I was all over the shop this morning because I didn't really look at the workout properly before we went. Because when I go to the track, I just slap my watch. And so I sort of was, every rep was asking what we're doing, and I was all over the shop. But the first one just felt terrible because it was at like sort of meant to be like that 3 to 5K pace for the 400. I think I ran at about 73, and it just like it felt aerobically easy, but just awful. And then the 800s, I think were in about, I think they were both in 2:32, which is about 76 second laps, and they felt marginally better, but still just like I was just working hard. And then we went into the K's, and a lot of my training, I like to focus at critical speed or critical velocity sort of pace, which is when you get into the long reps, it sort of translates to about 30 minute effort or 10K effort. So we got into those for the 1K's, and I went 3:20, 3:20, 3:19, 3:15 for those, and they just like, by about the second 1K, I was feeling really good, starting to move really well. And then, a little short break into the 200s. They're a bit silly, these 200s, because we do tend to like, Ollie actually doesn't do them that often, which is probably smart on his behalf. But we tend to just absolutely like just rip them very quickly. And the first two, I was very sensible. Like I went 30, I think I went 33 and 32, and I said to Clive and Ewan and Taz that they're like the main offenders for winding these things up. Actually, probably Taz and Clive, but they, I said to the last one, we just were just joking around and being silly and coming to the last one. And then I ripped a 29 second last one, and that's too quick
Yeah.
for me. Anyway, and I said, I got through unscathed, but it was, they're good fun to finish on. So that was Tuesday, and then so that ended up about 14K of a warm up and a cool down. Wednesday was, sorry, was 17K. So on Wednesday, there's a bunch of guys. We sort of just all head towards Brackenridge. So if you're anyone familiar with the sort of the Sandgate Brighton area, you'll know it's very flat. The only sort of hilly area, and it's really one hill that we run up from different directions, is in Brackenridge. So there's a group, I think there was a handful of us, Jassy, Ewan, I think Rob Singleton, who else was there? Oh, there was heaps this week. Clive, Yeah, anyway, Taz as well. And yeah, I did 17K. That's usually pretty easy. I parked in Brackenridge this time, so often I'll run from home. And so then the last 3 or 4K, I'll sort of get down to, yeah, sort of 420s, 410s, just going home, because it's pretty flat, sort of you coming down the hill in Brackenridge. And yeah, but when I start, so sort of go from Brackenridge, it's a bit easier, but we're going up and down as much hills as we can in the 80, 90 minutes that we're there. So 17s, I usually like to do a little bit more than that, but yeah, I slept through an alarm on that one, so I yeah had to drive, and that was half the reason I started there. But Thursday, I don't run in the morning, and this is used to be a day off, but just at the moment with my work set up, it's pretty easy for me to get like a I jog a little bit of the way home. So sometimes my mum looks after my daughter, and she lives about 5 or 6K from work. So sometimes, most of the time, it's just picking up my daughter and jogging back to their place, because it's a little bit quicker than getting the bus from the Royal Brisbane Hospital. But I didn't have to do that on Thursday. So I got the train to Boondall, jogged 5K home. Yeah, I like adding those ones in. Otherwise, I would just have Thursday off if I don't do that. Friday is my second key session of the week. This one, it was kind of a good and a bad session at the same time. Avi was it, I this week there wasn't too many of the guys doing a session, but Avi was. So we just did. He's coached by Kyle Weiss, who was and so I just said, mate, what are you doing? We'll do your session today. And it was 3 by 10 minutes. It was sort of meant to be 7 minutes at threshold. And then 3 minutes, a little bit quicker than threshold. And it was good in that, like, the 7 minutes. So for the first one, in the 7 minutes, I was just sort of not quite getting down to where I would like to be. I'd sort of like to be getting to those for like, sort of probably somewhere between 3:25 and 3:30. First one, I did start with Arvi going pretty slow, but I just like wasn't quite getting into the rhythm. So the first one was 3:35 for the 7 minutes, and then I was a little bit too quick on the 3 minutes. I was 3:18. Second one was a good rep. I went 3:27 into 3:16. Was probably still a little bit too quick on the 3 minutes. And then the third one, again, I just sort of I just didn't quite get into a rhythm in the 7 minutes, and ended up 3:30, and then 3:20 for the 3 minutes. So the last 3 minutes was about where I wanted to be at. But yeah, that one was it was sort of, yeah, it was funny. It was like a good session, but also at the same time, I didn't probably quite hit the purpose I wanted to. But I mean, I still got it was 16K all up with a warm up and cool down, so it's still a good morning. And yeah, the Friday Threshy is probably my favorite run of the week. Usually get a good group, and I like running at that intensity. Saturday is just a really easy run. I go out on my own and just go to the wetlands and jog around. I did just under 12K at 4:50, so yeah, pretty cruisy for there. And today was the Sunday longie. We had a really good group. I was sort of split between what I was going to do this morning. A whole bunch of guys were doing like marathon workouts, and I was going to jump in with Taz. He was going to go 3:50s, but I just this morning I just didn't want to sort of overdo it, and so I ended up going with the group that went out to Bridgman Downs, which is a bit of a hilly loop. We sort of run through Brackenridge, up around the cemetery at Albany Creek there, head back and go back through Brackenridge, and it's probably one of the hillier loops we can do starting from Brackenridge. And I did that. I just ended up running with the group. I wound up a little bit at the end. Normally I'd wind up from about, I like winding up and from about 20K in, and or depending on how much you're doing, just sort of the last 7 or 8K and getting down to close to 4 minutes. But we sort of with Ewan, we got down to probably 4:15. So it wasn't 4:15s, maybe 4:20s for about 5K. So it was a lot cruisier than I normally would do on a long run. But it also was the first time that I've gone to close to 30 in a while. So ended up just, yeah, it sort of worked out well. There was a little bit longer, but a little bit less intensity. So That ended up being just shy of 30K, 29.8. So I probably could have just run 200 more meters, but I got finished. I was like, no, I'm ready for a chocky milk and a coffee. So that was my week. It was, a pretty good one. It's about as much as I can sort of do at the minute, just with the family situation. I don't really double at the moment, but it was 108K. So, that's a pretty good week. And, leading into a half, if I'm doing, like, if all was going well, I'd probably chuck a couple of doubles in there as well, and maybe get it up to 120. But that's a good volume when you're, for what I'm doing at the moment. So I was, pretty happy with that week.
Yeah, thanks, mate. And are you going to continue that sort of Friday threshold work with the Sunday just being more hilly, jogging, maybe progressive, or any really specific half marathon pace work in there?
I probably, so for this time, I'm going to try something a little bit different to what I would normally do, but keep to the same structure. I'd like for a half marathon just doing a Tuesday, Friday workout. But as we get closer, I'm going to try and up the workouts a little bit. So typically, I do somewhere between 8 and 10K of threshold. And when I'm building up to a race, like if, so if year in, year out, it's sort of 7 to 8 on the Fridays. But this time I want to sort of up it just a little bit and try and get a couple of, like, maybe somewhere 12 or maybe even 14K a threshold on the Friday. So I'll make Friday bigger, or like half marathon effort, like sort of like threshold's probably technically a bit faster, but that's sort of the intensity we usually run Fridays at. I'll probably break those bigger ones up, but I'm just going to keep the same structure. I might jump in on a Sunday with some of the guys doing Gold Coast workouts, particularly the ones running around 3 hours or just under 3 hours, because that's around where I like to. Because I sort of, as a standard week, my, like, in an ideal world, I do a good session on a Tuesday, a threshy on a Friday, and a long run where I wind up when I'm not training for a marathon. So I'll just keep trying to do that. We've got six more of those sort of weeks, and I reckon I'll be in pretty good shape. So that's the plan.
Yeah, very good. Any questions, Narissa?
No, I was just scared by the bush turkey track session. My gosh, that would pass 200s at the end. Oh, that's not my forte either. Oh my god.
I will say we started doing them probably a couple of years ago, and I think it's like you, like with you've sort of built up the mileage over time. And they're not something I do, we do every week, or like I definitely don't do them every week, because that's sort of, for me, it's a bit too hard. But every 2 to 3 weeks, they're good, and they're but yeah, as I said, they get a little bit silly when you go fast at the end. And that's a little bit different to what we would normally do. Like, as a group, we love like K reps on the track and stuff, and a lot of sort of, those slightly longer reps. But yeah, we yeah, so it's a, that one's a little bit different to what we would normally do. But the fast 200s are often a feature, and they're very fun, I think, sometimes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we're
it's
very
nice
lucky
being
with the
able.
track. Sorry, you go,
I
Narissa.
was going to say, it's nice being able to use the track. That's
Yeah.
very
Yeah, I
fun
mean,
doing
that's
fast stuff on the
so
track.
good.
It's yeah, I mean, like, there's not too many places in Brisbane where you, like most of, like as I said, we're a club that's based out of sort of the Bramble Bay region. Like, probably over half our members would live in, the suburbs that fall into 4017, the Sandgate, Brighton, Brackenridge, Shorncliffe. So there's not too many places where we can drive 10 minutes down the road and have like a pretty great track to run on. And we're very lucky that we get have access to that pretty regularly.
Yeah, excellent. Might go through my week then. I've got to set some context here because it was a 65K week, which is a bit lower than what I'd normally like. And we spoke about our episode, Narissa, 2 years ago, and I was in a real purple patch in 2023. I PB'd almost every event, actually. And until that point, never really had any kind of overuse injury. So I've injured myself in one-off events like sprained ankles and just stupid things like that. But certainly nothing like I'm experiencing now. So I just got to set some context there, I guess, with why I'm at this mileage and what I'm working with realistically. Because yeah, it might come off as a bit of a whinge fest, but it's just the reality. It's the facts of what I'm facing. And I'm talking about pretty much a year of low back pain last year, which I've never had, and often around running and anything I'm doing. sort of a 3 to 4 mile low back pain. It got to the point where I had to stop running entirely for a few weeks at the back end of last year. What has potentially led to now is, for the very first time again, some groin and hip pain, which I experienced about 3 months ago. And yeah, just sort of lingered around, a dull sort of ache through that hip groin area in about March time. And yeah, had never experienced that and just sort of worked through it in the last, or maybe went on for sort of a week or two before I thought I'd see someone. So I went down to Chris Brady, director of the QSMC physio at the Gabba, who I've seen for years, who knows me pretty well. And he initially thought it was a hip flexor strain and to just continue some rehab that would work for it. But it didn't after a few weeks. So I got a scan and the scan was it was an MRI scan of my hip region, and it showed a few things, which a lot of runners do have. And it can sound pretty nasty, but some things on that list were osteitis pubis, hip impingement, which is basically an issue with the top end of the femur, the joint there. It's not spherical in nature, so it kind of interacts with the joint in a negative way, affecting things like a lateral tear, which I also have, and tendinosis as well. And more recently, I don't think I've spoken to Steve about this or if he's even heard of it, because I know, Steve, you've had some back pain over the years, but just had the fit scan, I think, in the last 4 months or 5 months, and yeah, a bone scan. And it come back with a desiccation of the spine. And basically that is like dehydration of the spinal discs in the lumbar region, which, yeah, sounds like you just need to drink a whole lot of water to rehydrate, but it's not that simple. It's more about movement and moving the body in the way that's going to sort of activate and get that spine moving nicely and just continue the rehab in terms of strength work. One thing I did read though, because I'm meant to be doing strength work like heavy to get me strong for the hip, was don't do heavy lifting for the back thing. So one issue there is telling me not to do something that actually is beneficial to the other injury. So we'll just see how we go on the strength front. But I've been in the gym a bit more of late, but about 5 weeks ago, I decided I'd have another time off, 2 weeks off entirely. So it's my second comeback now at the moment with this injury that's lasted the last 3 months. So had a Yeah, 2 weeks off, then into a 48K week 3 weeks ago, then a 57, and now 65 this week. But usually I'm in the 70s heading into a half marathon. So hopefully I can get there the next few weeks. But Monday, as usual, like Narissa, no running. Tuesday, went to the bush jerky session with Stephen. Definitely didn't do the HAFs. And I won't swear on this podcast, but I'm sure that some people can work that out, or they can ask us off air what that stands for. But it is sprinting. I've been avoiding that, I guess, in Stephen's eyes of late, because he's sort of, that's how he's known me as a trainer around him, who's been injured, and being a bit soft on that front to be careful. But yeah, I did my first session back actually, and I kept it at threshold pace. So it's 7 by 1K with about a 200 meter jog after it. And I held 3:40s, which I was pretty happy with. I've been swimming and riding cross training over the last few months aerobically, like able to push it there, and I was pretty surprised that I could come back and just head straight into 3:40 pace, which is basically that A goal pace, 3:40 pace, to get near that sort of sub 118 range for the big day. And that went pretty well, pulled up okay. Wednesday, I just did it literally a 5K, but I was pretty rubbish that morning. I was sort of hurting a bit. I was sick actually, had a day off work. We've had a cold this week. You guys have been there. The family's sick, then you get sick. So did my jog, felt rubbish, came back and decided I'm super tired. Slept for 3 hours and recovered in that sense, I guess, to a degree. And into Thursday, on Thursday, just checking my Strava again to remind me what I did. I think I did a, yeah, 12K with the staff at Nudgee College. As a teacher, we have a staff club, which is just super social. Jogged along there in the afternoon from 2:50 p.m. with a couple staff members at 5:20 pace. That's pretty normal for me for Wednesday, Thursdays, that they're just jogging. I tend to load up Wednesdays closer to a 20K over a double, actually, on Wednesday. For Friday, headed into the threshold with Stephen, but I was behind Stephen because he is faster than me. So I just did a 10 minute plus a 5 minute with a 1 minute 30 float in between with a bloke called Bluey at the Bush Jerky Track Club. That was at 3:43s. Normally, that for me, that Friday is longer. I try to get, and Narissa, you might recall what we did at the BERT thresholds a couple of years back. And I reckon they were the absolute key to me PBing that year, where we'd sit between sort of 20, low 20s to 30 minutes total. And it was just duration based. So running for a certain amount of time at a pace for you and I that was very much to feel. And I guess at the start, I had memories of sort of running high 340s with you. And then after a few months, we were sort of running about 340 pace, but we're definitely running to feel. That sort of flat running, setting up a nice route to run comfortably, but not, out of control. And that's what thresholds should be anyway. But yeah, just 10 plus 5 there for a total of 10K. Again, that's usually closer to probably 15K. And then I had Saturday off entirely, which definitely was warranted because I was pretty fresh this morning, actually. Body felt pretty good. And I was saving for a longer sort of half marathon paced long run. I've done these for a few years now where I focus more on the Sunday than say the Thursday or Friday. And I've got up to as much as even 3 by 5K at half marathon pace or a bit slower. I've had a few memories of running like 3 by 5K at 3:45 pace in the last couple of years and then running sub that like 3:37, 38 pace for the actual race. And it's definitely set me up. It's probably on the extreme end to be doing that. Like Stephen was saying, he's going to experiment heading maybe close to that, but at the moment I'm thinking I'm going to load up Sundays and then potentially reduce the intensity and duration on a Tuesday, maybe move that to Wednesday and kind of have a Wednesday Sunday setup, which is only because I'm kind of feeling like I'm cramming in this longer intensity at the moment. So that's the idea moving forward, but I want to sort of learn to run to a feel again, Narissa. But hopefully towards that 3:40 mark today, the third rep. So 11:05, 11:06, then 10:56 were the three splits. The third one just aerobically was tougher than I expected. And I kind of forgot what sort of firm running felt like over the last 3 months. So it was good to be back doing that. And I had another mate there with me on that Bluey who I mentioned earlier to hit that time. So according to today, I don't think 3:40, if I was to run a half marathon right now, it wouldn't be at 3:40 pace. Maybe it might be closer to high 3:40s, but that's the direction I'd like to head. So that's me.
Is easier, I think, when you get to race day and you're, a little bit more recovered and you've, fully carbed and you've, big cup of coffee and all that in the morning. So I think, when you get to race day, you'll definitely, if you're doing sort of that in the long run workout, you'll be close to, if not exceeding that, I reckon, by race day.
Yeah, what do you think, Narissa?
Yeah.
9K of 3:40 pace, which is probably standard, hey, Stephen, for most leading up to a half marathon would do somewhere near close to 10K, hey.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, in the past, I have definitely done 10, and that's I've run pretty well off that. So if you're hitting around that, and as you said, we've got a few more weeks. Weather's only going to get colder as well. I think you're definitely tracking in the right direction, and as long as you can keep the body right, that's probably going to be the that juggling act without trying to cram too much in, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
I agree. I think that's a really good long run session. I don't know about you guys, but I always find half marathon pace quite hard to hit in training. I guess I do. I really enjoyed when we did it together, Ollie, because at the moment when I do my sort of my Saturday session, it's solo, and I find half marathon pace really hard to find. I can run marathon pace for days. If I have to do shorter stuff faster, I'm sort of in the zone doing it. But I have to do these sort of longish half at half marathon pace. I can very rarely get down to what I can actually hold on race day. So, I think if you're holding anywhere near it in just a long run session on race day, you'll be able to you'll get at least up to 5 seconds per k. I think. I just find that half marathon intensity, especially solo, just I don't know, mentally, physically hard to do in training. So, yeah, to do that in a long run. Yeah, you're going pretty well.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely is. And you want to be honest with it. For me, once you finish the threshold, technically, in theory, you should be able to do that again. You should be able to back up and do it. It will be hard and quite firm to repeat it. But if someone were to ask you, that should be doable. Was today doable to repeat probably not to do another 3x3K. So that's where I sort of reflect on the fact that maybe that was too quick, but the whole intent of it was to try and run at 340 pace to see what that would be like aerobically and for the body. I pulled up a little bit sore, like I'm not limping after these sessions, it's not that bad, but sort of feeling a bit like got some reservations, literally like just putting my right foot down. It's just sort of a mental thing at the moment. If I'm running, walking, whatever, going up steps, I just have conscious about that area. And the pain keeps shifting. So at the moment, it's like in the gluteus medius on the outside of the hip there. Whereas before it was inside, like medially inside the hip bone, more towards the groin, and which is more of that osteitis pubis effect where that's quite central to the pubic symphysis, is that joint where they connect at the front of your pelvis. So yeah, I just don't know how that's gonna go. And I'm prepared for it to go pear-shaped because it has once already with a comeback a couple months ago, and that's the reality. It's just not a linear progression at the moment, and the physios reminded me of just that sort of ebbing and flowing, like a higher, more intensity day than a day off or an easy day, and just like going back and forth between that, which I've never done. I've always been pretty consistent each day running sort of about 15K. But that's probably a timely reminder to be mindful of the loading.
Sounds like the Wednesday Sunday could be a good way to manage it. Just having that extra day to recover from the, the session, and then just hitting two.
Yeah, it just means I can't run fast with the bush turkeys on a Tuesday.
Or a Friday. They're both fun days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it goes for both days. Goes for both days. Hey guys, I reckon we take off the shoe rotations for today and just and put it on for next week, considering we've gone just over an hour now. We have alluded a little bit to the next few weeks ahead. I'm pretty happy with what I've mentioned coming up for me. But what about you guys in the next few weeks in terms of overall mileage and anything that's on the radar, even if it's like any park runs involved in the next few weeks or anything very specific that's changing for your half marathon preparation, Narissa?
Next week will probably be a fairly standard week. And then I am in the elite field for Launceston 10. So at this stage I'm going, it is a bit of a logistical juggling to, I'm just going flying down, flying back, but I want to make sure I'm in shape to run a fast 10K. I'm not going to go all the way down there if I don't think I can run a fast one. But I've always wanted to do Launceston because it's supposed to be very fast, flat, nice, cool running conditions. And I really think I can lower my 10K PB. So that's on the plan for in 2 weeks. And then I will do Speed Week in June. So they're my two key ones locked in before then, Gold Coast Half. So sort of tapering in those weeks, and then bigger mileage is the alternative week. So I'll have a few down weeks into those big races.
Yeah, she's officially elite, Stephen, unlike us.
Yeah, no, we're just having fun. Enjoy. That's right. Yeah.
About you, Steve?
Next couple of weeks coming up is just gonna be standard sort of training weeks for me. I'll probably try and hit about the same mileage. Keep the long runs around that, 28 to 30K. Before I'm tossing up if I do Speed Week or not this year. Clive's been in my ear a little bit. I think I did want to do the Brisbane Roadrunners 10K, which is a couple of weeks out from the half. But so Clive and I, we often run our training by each other just to sort of get an idea of if we're doing anything silly. And he said, do you? That's a fair bit of racing in 3 weeks. And I usually do go pretty conservatively. So I'll maybe do Speed Week, maybe do the Brisbane Roadrunners 10K, and maybe both. We'll find out. But next couple of weeks is just going to be training. So just trying to keep some consistency and
Excellent. Well, yeah, it's been over an hour, guys, and Narissa would know from last time that these things just go so quickly, especially if you have a very acute interest in running, like we all do. And I appreciate your time tonight. We've got a bit of tension leading up to this conversation and moving forward. So, yeah, again, I appreciate your time, and we'll regather fortnightly leading up to the event. And if time permits, do another recap like we've done on this podcast before for other road. Two series. So thanks again, Narissa and Stephen.
Yep.
No,
Thanks, Ollie's.
thanks. Thanks, Ollie.
Did you know the Local Legends in Running podcast do online coaching? It's a massive 2025 with heaps of events coming up. If you're interested in getting a little bit more guidance in this running season, please jump on Instagram, follow the links, and happy to help out. Hope you enjoyed the podcast and jump on to Spotify to give it a rating. Much appreciated. Thanks for listening, guys.